It is my great joy and pleasure to call upon the Reverend Pastor Quek to expound more fully on the Word of God from the book that we seldom read, the book of Malachi. Thank you.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Will God curse our blessings? What a topic for the last Lord's Day of the year 2007. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 1, God made it very clear when He wrote this book. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. So he was very specific. He was addressing priests. Who were they? Now, as you know, practically every religion in the world has priests, the office of priest. We find that in the Word of God, not everyone will call priests. You must come from the tribe of Levi. And if you come from the tribe of Levi, you will only be called Levites, assistants to the priests. And therefore, not only must you come from the tribe of Levi, you must be of the descendants of Aaron. For Aaron was the first high priest. His sons were priests assisting him. They were a very special, unique group of people. If an ordinary Israelite would desire to do the office of priesthood, they must become a Nazarite. Their lifestyle would be completely transformed, changed. They are not allowed to have haircuts. They are not allowed to drink any alcohol, cannot even touch the fruit of the vine. And they are not allowed to touch dead bodies. In other words, if any of their loved ones were to die, like their father, their mother, their siblings, they are not allowed to participate in their burial. So these are some of the sacrifices an ordinary Israelite would have to give up if he wanted to do the office of a priest for a certain season of time, or if they would like to, like Samuel, devoted for the rest of their lives. It was possible. But to be a priest, you must be of Aaronic descent. That means God was the one who would choose who would to be born of Aaronic descent. So it was not any Tom, Dick or Harry who could do the work of a priest. And so they were to be mediators between God and men. They were very special. They were regarded as the most holy people in all of Israel. And on the forehead of the high priest, he would wear a mitre, a crown, and inscribed on it would be the words, Holiness unto the Lord. You find this in the book of Exodus. His entire garment would be designed by God, and on his breast there would be a breastplate with 12 precious stones representing 12 tribes of Israel. So he would be Israel's representative. He was God's representative at the same time. His tasks, his duties, to accept the offerings of the people of Israel. He was in charge of the entire spiritual well-being of Israel. So his job as priest was spiritual in nature, appointed by God with a special garment, with a very different way of life. And every Israelite would look at them with different eyes. Parents would tell their children, you want to be close to God, you look at them. You look at the way they live. You look at the way they conduct themselves. They are mediators of God. And so when God said in Malachi chapter 2 verse 1, And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and so what we have here was the disobedience of the priests. They were supposed to be the most spiritual people in all of Israel. And here we have God's specific, explicit instruction against them. What was Israel like in the days of Malachi? It was about 60 odd years after the nation of Israel had been restored back to some semblance of sovereignty. They will never be sovereign in its entirety until the year 1948 AD. This would be around 432 BC before Christ's first coming. They were put into exile in 605 BC by the Babylonians, and they were in captivity for 70 long years until the Babylonians were destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. And they were returned from exile in 505 BC, exactly 70 years as God has promised and prophesied through the ministry of Jeremiah. And so 505 minus about 432, you have about 67 years. The city of Jerusalem had been rebuilt, of course, never to the point where they would have their glorious days as it were in the days of King David and King Solomon. The temple of Solomon had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, razed to the ground, and this temple was rebuilt. And so what we have here was the exilic temple, not in its old glorious form as it was in the days of Solomon, but this temple would be refurbished, remodeled by King Herod in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was said by historians that the opulence of the temple, refurbished by Herod, even exceeded that of King Solomon's time. That was what some historians said. And so they had a temple. It was an exilic temple, a very simple temple, still divided into two portions. The most holy place where the high priest was allowed to enter in, and he was the only one who was allowed to enter in, and once a year. And on that day when he was to enter in, he was allowed to go in there only three times. And during that three times when he entered in, he must enter in with the fear of God in his heart. He cannot go in there thinking about his argument with his wife. He cannot go in there distracted. He must have full concentration, because at the base of his priestly robe, there would be bells. And as he entered in, a rope would be tied around his waist. And while he was in there, no one else is allowed to go in there. What happens if he fools around? If he is not concentrating like many of us in worship? Sometimes when we sing hymns, we don't concentrate on what we are singing, do we? We just go through the motion. Now what happens if the high priest, while he was ministering in the most holy place, and he was not concentrating? He would drop dead. Now what do you do with the dead body? Now how do the people outside, the priest, in the holy place, to know that he has dropped dead? No more sound. The bell stopped tingling. Because as he moves around, as he ministers, he will be holding an altar of incense, and he will be moving around doing his priestly ministry. But the moment the bell stops, they will wait for a while. What happens? And then they'll start pulling the rope, and then they'll pull out his dead body. And then they'll look around the priest. Now who is next? You take over. And so the next guy will go in and do the work of a high priest. And if he fools around, he too would drop dead. So you want to be a priest? You want to be a high priest? Because he is the only one who can enter into the most holy place. The priest would minister in the holy place. And then the Levites would be outside assisting the priest when the people bring their offerings. And every day before the priest would be ready, consecrated to accept the offerings of the ordinary people, when they bring their offerings for the cleansing of their sins, like the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering, and the thank offering, the priests themselves must offer offerings for the cleansing of their own sins. And at the close of every day, they would again offer some more offerings to close of the day. And when the next day comes, they would start the whole thing over and over again. Because of the serious and the privileged position given to them, they cannot fool around. Their lives would truly have to be exemplary. But when we come to the time of Malachi, they were not like that. And so God had a very specific instruction against the priest. Now imagine, if the most holy people in Israel had become so unholy, so sinful and wicked, how much more would be the ordinary people the kind of impact that these priests would have on the ordinary folks in Israel. And so it was a rebuke from top down, with this honor and privilege given to them. God said it was to be a ministry of life and peace. Look at verse 5. My covenant was with him of life and peace, talking about the Levites. That means the entire tribe of Levi, which would include also the priesthood. It was a ministry of life and peace. It was a tremendous privilege. If you were an Israelite, and you realize that you have sinned, you read the book of Leviticus, and these are the procedures and the steps that you would have to take in order for yourself to feel your sins have been forgiven by God. Now, an ordinary Israelite, even in his sincerity, wanted to offer offerings, he could not do it because he was not a priest. And the only people who could do it for them would be the priests. And that's why it was called the ministry of life and a ministry of peace, because if they were to do all these things properly, correctly, God said, my people will have peace with me. That's why the sequence of the offering would be like this. First, they offer a sin offering for purification. And then they offer a burnt offering for the atonement of their sins. And now that their sins have been atoned for by these animals that have been killed on their behalf, they now have peace with God. And so the next offering would be a peace offering. And now that they have peace with God, they would finally offer a thank offering. It would be called a wave offering to tell the people around them that now I have peace with God. God has forgiven me. He has cleansed me. Now this would be the process. And the only people who could do this would be the priests. And that's why it was called a ministry of life and peace in verse 5. And it was a covenant that God gave to the people of Israel through the Levites, nobody else. All the rest of the religions, you can make your own people priests. But as far as God is concerned, unless I make them, men cannot make themselves priests. I would not accept them. And that's why the priesthood was a privileged position, never to be despised, never to be abused. Because out of all the people of the world, only the Aaronic descendants and the Nazarites could be considered as people that God would accept. You can make yourself priest, you can make your own children priests, but if God doesn't accept, no count. You can get the whole world to lay hands on them, God will still reject them. And your offerings will be unacceptable to God if you are not priests appointed by God, accepted by God. And that's why it is so privileged. And God said, I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. Because in the days of Moses, the tribe of Levi was a tremendous tribe. When Israel made the golden calf, while Moses was up on Mount Sinai, communing with God for 40 days and 40 nights, he came back down, the people of Israel made the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai led by Aaron. And Moses was so angry that he took the Ten Commandments and he broke them. And then he walked in the midst of the people of Israel. And then he cried, who is on the Lord's side? Only one tribe took the side of the Lord, the tribe of Levi. They were a righteous group of men. This was the tribe that God singled out to be the tribe that will represent me, to teach God's word, to help me with the offerings of God's people, that they may have peace with God. It would be a ministry of life and peace, and it was commanded by God. It was the greatest privilege and honor bestowed upon sinful men. And he was afraid before my name, and the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So in three verses, God summarized the entire book of Leviticus. This would be the ministry of the Levites together with the priests. The law of God must be in their mouth. Whatever they say, it must be according to Holy Scriptures. And in the appointment and the anointing and the consecration of the priest, the blood of the animal that the priest brought would be touched would be used to touch Deppi's right ear, so that he will always listen to the truth. His hand, his finger, so that he will always do the work. His big toe, so that everywhere he go would be places that God would accept. His entire life would be one of holiness. That's why on his forehead, holiness unto the Lord. But in the days of Malachi, things were different. With this honor and privilege of becoming a blessing to the people of Israel, where they have been given the honor to bless others, God said, I will now curse even your blessing. You are God's representatives, priests. And because of that, you are given the authority and the power to bless others. But when your own life is a life of hypocrisy, when you turn that which was supposed to be privileged and honorable into something despicable and dishonorable, God will turn all your sweet talk, God will turn all your blessings into a curse. That was what happened to the priests. Are we priests? Well, in some religions, you will have a select group of people who we call priests, where the ordinary member would have to go to certain enclosed booths, where they are going to confess their sins, as it were. These priests are modern day mediators between God and men. And so this kind of confession was a regular feature. And so if you fall into sin, unless you are a priest yourself, you cannot confess your own sins. You must go through the priest. And so behind this sanctuary, you'll find at the AV studio, and now we have built a few booths there. Have enough. No booths. Go back and check yourself. No such thing. Do you know why? Because every Christian is a priest. You don't have to confess your sins to the pastors, and the pastors will now bring your sins and bring it to God. No such thing. And the great high priest is not your pastor, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Christian is a priest, himself or herself. That's why you can pray anywhere you want, anytime you want. You are a priest. But I don't want... You have no choice. You have to be a priest. As long as you are a Christian, you are a priest. How do we know that? Two verses in the Bible. Okay, read for yourself. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it is a description of the modern day Christian. It's not an option. If you say you are a Christian, you are automatically a priest. 1 Peter 2 5. Ye also, describing any Christian. Well, ye also, you look at verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, describing an ordinary Christian, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that means if you are truly born again, to whom coming as unto a living stone, that means a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, men may reject you, cast you aside, but chosen of God, and precious. And this is how God described every Christian. Your life, from henceforth, is a lively stone, a living stone, that is able to impact the lives of people around you, has the power and the authority to bless others. So don't just go around and say, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Don't anyhow say God bless you. Because you do have the power and the authority as priests to impart blessing. If someone attacks God's word, you don't say God bless you. If someone attacks Christ, you don't go and say God bless you. Be very careful. Don't use it loosely. Because verse 5 says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And what are we? An holy priesthood. Not just a priesthood, but a holy priesthood. Holiness to whom? Unto the Lord. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. By whom? By Jesus Christ. Not by any ordinary human being, because he is our great high priest. And the Bible did not stop there. Look at verse 8 and verse 9, the same chapter, 1 Peter 2. and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen, describing Christian, a chosen generation. And in this time, in verse 9, this case, he did not call us a holy priesthood, but he calls us a kingly, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That means a people that is precious to God. That ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is a description of every genuine believer. Not a select group, not just the pastor, the elders, the deacons, or anybody in office. It is a general description of every truly born-again Christian. So you are a priest, and you want to know what is the office of a priest? Read the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus. The principles remain the same. You may not bring actual animals and so on, but the principles and the office and the duties of a priest, if you want to know what they are like, study the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus. And you will understand that the principles that God had for the priests in the Old Testament applies to all of us today. That is why you and I cannot live any way we like. Your life, if it is not lived in a way that is acceptable to God, holy unto the Lord, your blessing will be cursed by God, the way that God cursed the blessings of the priests in the Old Testament. So just because you are privileged by God to be His mediators, to pray not only for your own needs, for your own sins, but you are also given the honor and privilege to pray for the sins of others. Have you ever realized that privilege? When somebody asks you, please pray for me, and you just simply close your eyes and you just pray for that person, failing to realize on what right or what grounds do you have to pray for the other person. You may be a child of God and you have the privilege to pray for yourself. Fair enough. But what right do you have to pray for somebody else who is not a believer? Pray for your children who are not Christians. On whose authority, on what grounds do you pray for others? Do you realize that? Because you are a priest. That's a privilege, that's an honor. To be able to move the arm, the hands of God Almighty, to come to the aid and the protection of someone who is not part of God's family, but because he is part of your family, your friend, whom you care for. You can pray for their protection, for your parents who may be non-Christians. You can pray for them because you are a priest. You can bless them. As they fly away on holiday in the airport, you can wave your hand and you can say, God bless you, mom, God bless you, so and so. And God will listen and God will protect them and God will bless them because you are a priest. But all these privileges and honors that God had given to us can turn into a curse if we conduct ourselves the way that the priests conducted themselves in the days of Malachi. Now what was it they did that God would want to turn their blessing into a curse? Look very carefully. Because if you and I are guilty of the same sin, this privilege and this honor of blessing, God say, I will curse. I will curse. Now let's see what they did wrong. Verse 2. If ye will not hear, that means if you will not listen, listen to what? Well, listen to what God had said in chapter 1, and God what will say in this first 9 verses of chapter 2. If ye will not listen, in other words, it's not too late. You can still repent. You can still turn around. And God will lift the curses from you. And if ye will not lay it to heart, that means if you do not take God's word, God's warning seriously, don't just let it fall off your back like waters off a duck's back. Pay attention and listen carefully. As long as there is breath in your body, it is never too late to repent and come back to the Lord, and your blessing will become blessings. Or else God will turn them into cursings. To give glory unto my name, that's number one. Forget about your pride. Forget about what people may think of you if you repent. If you have to eat your words, humble yourself. Give glory to God means man must humble themselves. Said the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, God said, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. It will impact your descendants, the entire ministry of priesthood that follows because of your terrible sin. You are going to teach your sons and your daughters to walk in the same way that you are walking, which is a root of wickedness, of sin, and of unrighteousness. And you are going to impact the younger ones. And God said, I will spread dung upon your faces. You want to protect your face? God is going to make your face smell and stink. Your name. Even the dung of your solemn feasts and all the things that you do with all the external pomp will be turned into dung. It will stink and smell, God said. And one shall take you away with it. It will be removed completely. What exactly did they do? Verse 6 of chapter 1 gives us the detail. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. True or false? Yes. If then I be a father, where is my honor? So the priesthood dishonor God. What exactly did they do that was so dishonorable to God? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests. Okay? So chapter 2 is just a continuation of what God had already started in chapter 1. O priests that despise my name. Now, in what way did they despise God's name? Ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Alright? Now, note verse 7. Have we not done all these things accordingly? We have offered the sin offering, burnt offering, and so on. Now, let's see what God's rebuke contains. Verse 7. Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And ye say, wherein have ye polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. God cannot see, right? God doesn't know what I'm offering. That was their point. And therefore, since God cannot see, why can't I just offer animals that were lame and sickly? Now, if you are a farmer, you will want to keep animals that are without blemish for reproduction. Animals that are lame, one-legged, blind, you will want to dispose of them. You do not want this kind of tainted DNA to be reproduced in your flock. And since we're going to offer to God and God can't see anyway, and the animal is going to be killed anyway, and if the animal is going to be killed, whether it is lame or blind, it doesn't matter. So since we don't want it, and since God cannot see, why don't we just simply offer it anyway? And the priests accepted. The priests themselves perhaps even did it themselves when they offer their daily and evening or nightly offerings. And so, if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, said the Lord of hosts? You don't even dare to offer these to humans, governors. You want to offer it to God? Who do you think God is? When we put in our tithes and our offerings, we think that God cannot see. And so when we give, how do we give? Do we give that which was sickly and lame? God knows. As simple as tithes and offerings. We're not talking about committing a sin of adultery. We're not talking about worshipping idols. None of these things. Just simply offerings. We give up God what kind of our time? The best years of our life? All the remaining years of our time when we don't have anything left to do, and so we give to the Lord. The Lord can't see anyway. This was their problem, and perhaps this is our problem today. We come to church week after week. The year 2007 is gone. Last Sunday of the year 2007. How had this year been? Would you say that this was a year where you gave of the Lord your very best? Or did we give to the Lord something that was sickly? That was lame? That was blind? My leftovers? My leftovers tithe and offering? My leftover time of service? Or perhaps some of us didn't even serve at all. Well, God can't see. God doesn't know. God knows. God is very patient and long-suffering in dealing with every one of us. Please do not presume that God does not know. He knows exactly what is in your heart even right now. What is in my heart right now. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about us even before we think them, even before we do anything. That's our God. So please do not pretend. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't walk around as if we have given God the very best that we have when we have not. And then we go around blessing these, blessing that, pretending that we are right with God. That was what they did. Wherein have we sinned against you, O Lord? Because as far as the externals were concerned, they were fine and good. They thought that as long as God cannot see, they can get away with it. And they thought they did. And God was caring enough to send Malachi, which means my messenger. That's the meaning of his name, Malachi. To rebuke them. To give them time to repent. Do not treat your offerings lightly. Do not give to God our pittance. Do not give to God our leftovers. And if we give a little bit more, we think that we are doing God a favor. All your talk, all your service, including your privilege and honor of blessing, God says, I'm going to turn it around into a curse. And God is no respecter of person. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what you have done in the past. If you have sinned right now, He will deal with you. He doesn't care. Because that's the way He is. You and I cannot buy Him with past good service. You cannot say to a God, I have done so much for you in the past. Please let me sin a little bit here. Because you have done so much for God, and God has been so gracious and merciful to use you in such a great manner, the opposite ought to be true, not a lower standard of holiness, but even a higher standard of holiness. And so when you fall into sin, when you now live a life of a lower standard of holiness, cannot presume that God would say, never mind. All the more God would mind. That was exactly how He treated Moses. One small little sin, God barred him from entering the promised land. Because God's standard had always been very consistent. The more you have been blessed, the greater would be the responsibility and the standard of holiness is demanded of you. Not a lower standard. Same with the people in the Old Testament. Same with us today in the New Testament. If you are truly born again, a child of God, you are a priest. You have no choice. And therefore the life of holiness is demanded of every one of us. And that means we cannot give to God, which is our second best, our half best, our pittance, the lame and the sick. We won't want to give this to our presidents, our prime minister, our own bosses. You give your very best to your bosses, right? They ask you to work overtime, you work. So when it comes to serving God, please don't drag our feet. Please don't ever feel that we have given up so much to serve God. There's nothing you and I could ever give could be compared to what He had given to us. He gave to us His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And if you were to even give up your life and your puny small little profession, and to give your life to serve God full time, it is not even the drop in the bucket. Please don't think that you have given something big and grand to serve God. The moment you think that way, you can keep your service. You're not serving man, you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't give Him your pittance. Because He is God Almighty. He who gave us the privilege to bless can turn our blessing to cursing. Verse 12 and 14 to 14 of chapter 1. He has not stopped. rebuking the priest. But ye have profaned it. That is, with reference to the offerings, the privilege of priesthood. In that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. When you and I give of our pittance, this is precisely how God would view our attitude. It is contemptible. We will say that the table of the Lord is polluted. If we give with this kind of motivation, ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. It is so tiresome serving the Lord. I want to retire. I want to give up. I'm so tired. I'm so fed up. You see? Like the priest, tired. And ye have snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, said the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male. In other words, if all the animals that you have are only the lame and the sick, fine. Because that's all you have. But that was not the case in the time of the priests, in the days of Malachi. They had good flock. They had good flock, which was, according to teaching of God's word, a male. And they vow, and they sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Don't treat God as if he is nothing but a Santa Claus. Someone that you can make use of at your own convenience. Someone who is at my beck and call. When I need him, I pray to him. When I cry to him, when I don't need him, God, you go to sleep. Please don't ever, ever treat God that way. He is the Almighty. He watches and he sees into the very depths of our souls. We come to church to worship because we love him. Willingly, cheerfully. Please don't come thinking that you are doing God a favor. Please don't serve if you are thinking that you are doing God a big favor. We need him. He doesn't need us. And if he decides to call us, he would gift us with the gift that we need to serve him. He will equip us. He will prepare us. And if we can serve him at the end of our service, even if we give of our very best, it is but a reasonable sacrifice. It is the least we can do for what we have received from God. That must always be our attitude in our life and in our service. That's why we must give him the glory. And so the final rebuke upon the priest in Malachi's time, read verse 8, 9, and 10 of chapter 2. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Not only did they themselves sin, but they caused the people of Israel who look at them. And when they themselves see how the priest would accept the lame and the sick, so they will also bring the lame and the sick. And therefore, as adults, speaking to the adult priests, there are many younger ones who will be affected by the way that you and I conduct ourselves. We can be very great stumbling blocks to our younger ones. Don't think that it will not impact them. Don't tell them, don't look at me, look at the Lord. How are they going to see the Lord if not through your life? Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore, have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we do treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Your life, my life, whether you and I like it or not, will impact the people around us. If you were to draw concentric circles, the people closest to us who will be impacted by the way that you and I live would be our children. The people closest to us, our families. And then your closer friends, your colleagues in your workplace. And then the people whom God will bring into your life where you will meet for a moment. And that's it. Your life will impact people, whether you like it or not, for the good or for the worse. And as priests, The privileges and honor that God bestowed upon the Aaronic descendants are now given to us. No more to them. And so even if there are people today of Aaronic descent, Jews, who can trace their lineage back to Aaron, they will not be given the power to bless, because that had been given over to the Gentiles, as God said in chapter 1, verse 11 of Malachi. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be a great among the heathen, said the Lord of hosts. And that day came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. It is now given to all of us. Please do not allow the blessing that God had given to us to be turned into a curse because of our sin, because of the way that we relate to our God. He knows. Return to Him. What we did in 2007 that is sinful in the eyes of God may not be sinful in the eyes of man. You cannot go back in time and relive the year 2007. But we can repent and ask the Lord to forgive us for what we have done wrong. He knows. We may not know, but He sees. But we have a new year ahead of us. Let the year 2008 be a brand new year, but we will truly be priests of the Most High God, where our blessing will truly be a blessing to others. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for salvation so rich and so free that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For in Him and through Him, O Lord, we are priests of the Most High God, with the privileges and honor to bless others. Help us therefore, O Lord, that we may live lives that are holy, not only before men, but also before the all-knowing God, that our blessings will remain blessings and will not be turned into cursings. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to sanctify Thy people in this Thy church, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.